you want to know the Bible better? Are you a Sunday school teacher, deacon, or a Christian seeking to know God's Word? Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE for more information. CTU, training ministry workers since 1982. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted to come to you today. We have Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis around the table with me, and we're discussing the issue, should Christians have to attend church? There are a lot of people, number of people, multitudes of people that say they're saved, and they say, I can worship at home. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the, if you please, the ability today to transmit the broadcast of a worship service into every home, into every village, into every place just about around the world. That doesn't mean that you sit on the side of the bed and watch it on television or on your handheld device and not go into the house of worship to worship the Lord if you're saved. If you're bedridden, if you're providentially hindered, as it was called back in my era, you need to be in church. What we see taking place, Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, is the what I call the epitome of apostasy. I'm looking at an article, and it says simply says this. I'll not call the name of the author of the article. It says, Europeans discovered that theology was divisive and concluded that the only way to restore comparative harmony was to expunge theology from the public square, forcing theological decisions and debate into the recesses of the conscience and, at best, safely behind the walls at home. Christian capitulation to secular policies, more the rule than the exception in the modern church today. Further, this writer says, American Christendom will cease to exist unless she rediscovers her purpose for being. This is because modern-day Christianity has lost the sight of the founders' declaration founding America. They said, and I quote, this is from the Mayflower Compact, by the way, for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. However, present-day Christianity's dissipation and impassivity in the public arena is a far cry from Jesus Christ's ecclesia, the church, which he said the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And this writer goes further and says, there are a number of people today making contemporary Christendom, generally speaking, irrelevant in modern society. And that's where we stand today, ladies and gentlemen. And I believe we're falling into the state of deep apostasy in America. And the thing that Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, it is troubling to me, is many of these that claim that they're saved, we find those are in large number, the ones have decided, we don't have to go to church. We can watch it online, we can watch it on television, etc., etc. Those tools that God has granted us the capability of doing in the modern American, the historic American church, is wonderful, but it ought not to be used as a means and a method and a mode of worship if you have the capability of being out and being in the local New Testament church. Let me just take a moment before we... And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Love to hear from you. What are your thoughts about it? Should Christians, I'm using this term now, I'm asking it, should Christians be required to go to church? That sounds like a legalistic statement, doesn't it? I'm not making the decision. God's Word makes the decision. God's Word gives the answer. God's Word asks the question and then gives the answer for us. But in the Old Testament, you found worship, the Old Testament centered around the tabernacle and then later the temple. The worship center there was with the priest at the center, where the priest carried out the rituals on behalf of the people. Then there was the music, the prayers, and the message. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you can worship in private. But if you're saved and able and capable of being out, God's Word demands, commands, directs that we go into corporate worship, the local New Testament church. And the New Testament church, the birth of the church, was where the people would gather in the homes. Dr. Phelps referred to that earlier. Dr. Phelps, you go back to that in Acts chapter 2 and read for us verse 41. And let's back up verse 37 through about verse 41. Acts chapter 2, read that for the edification of our listeners, and then we want to, the three of us, discuss what's that saying and what it's not saying.
Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common. In verse 46, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved.
Added to the church, the body of Christ, the building of Christ. So Dr. Phelps, speak to this. As I see those verses, it's the sets the pattern, sets the pace, it sets the modality of the worship today. And that is gathered together. And if you'll well notice, ladies and gentlemen, they had prayer, they had Bible study, they were studying the apostles' doctrine. So, Dr. Phelps, what about that should be the mode, the method, the process for today? Is that, should it be the same today as we see there? Why weren't they in a building? Said they went house to house. Speak to that for a moment.
These people who had listened to the Apostle Peter's sermon had received the truth. Mm-hmm. And they, and in their response, they had come to receive the truth, which is the gospel of Christ. And listen, that is the power of God unto salvation.
Amen.
And as a result, these people believed on Christ and received him into their hearts, and they were transformed. Mm-hmm. People who are transformed by believing the gospel then have a new desire. They desired the sincere miracle of the word, as Peter said later on. Mm-hmm. They desired the basic truths of the word of God, word of the gospel. They wanted to know. They wanted to know the truth, and they were coming back to learn more and more. I have a brother who attended a good church in another state, and he and I were talking about that, and I asked him a question. Why do those people keep coming back to church on Sunday? Mm-hmm. Here's what he said. He said, and he called my name, they can hardly wait for the next service. And you know, I believe
that was true
in the book of Acts.
That's right.
That these people were hungry for fellowship. They were hungry for the truth because they were lost. Now they're found. They were in darkness. Now they have the light. They were unsaved. Now they are God's people, saved. And God has joined them together in a fellowship around the Word of God. I was reading in the book of 1 Timothy, and the Apostle Paul spoke about that just a little bit in chapter 3, 1 Timothy, verse number 15. He says, but if I tarry long, he was asking them for an opportunity to visit with them. Mm-hmm. But if I tarry long, that thou may know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And I wanted to make a comment there, and it's this. There are still a few churches that teach and preach the truth.
Amen.
We know that we're in a time of apostasy. Many people are abandoning the Bible. Many people are abandoning the truth. And many people are abandoning the fellowship.
That's right.
That ought not to be. We need to be diligent in this time and in this age, because we need to set an example for the rest of the world. We need to be faithful to God and true to His Word, and encourage others to come and hear the Word of truth and know the transformation and the blessings of the Word of truth.
Amen. Dr. Davis, let me toss this to you for a moment in that same text. That's the early church, and as Dr. Phelps said, they were excited to continue to hear the Word, study the Word. And in the early church, they met together, they worshiped together, they comforted each other, they discipled each other, they edified the body of Christ, they fellowshiped together, they glorified God, they recited and read the Scriptures. But it was after they'd said yes to Jesus. You spoke of earlier in your introductory remarks about someone that was listening, that was thinking about considering getting saved. So the point that I want to make, and then toss it to you to respond for an encouragement to that person, the elemental truth that we find in this Acts text, the birth of the New Testament church, was first of all, they got saved. They followed the Lord Jesus Christ in believers' baptism. And as a result of their salvation, they had a yearning, burning hunger to meet together, to worship together, to study together, to edify one another, to comfort one another, and to continue to study the Word of God. Speak to that and challenge our listeners.
Well, I mean, assembling together at the church, let's again remember that we are the church. Mm-hmm. Christians, the Bible says, your body is the temple of God.
That's right.
So each time we show up and connect with one another, we first connect with God and then we connect with one another, giving us a sense of belonging.
Yes.
So from there, we're able to garner support and encouragement as well as instruction. Mm-hmm. So now, when you consider what Dr. Phelps read from the book of Acts, I'm not going back there, but you heard everything that was said. I can relate to that, because when I go to church, I'm not talking about just any church. All churches don't make me feel good.
That's right.
I'm just going to be honest. Mm-hmm. Because the Spirit of God will let you know what's right when you set your foot in the building. If things are there, if things are being done according to His Word, or if it's not. So let me pull it back over here. It doesn't matter where I see another Christian. Each time I see you and Dr. Phelps, or if I see any other Christian in the grocery store, on the street corner, anywhere, it makes me rejoice.
Amen. Amen.
To know that I'm in the company of another fellow believer.
It's fellow,
and I'm happy.
It's fellowship, yes.
This is what it's all about. Mm-hmm. So now, how would these people have known anything about God except they came to the church at that time? Mm-hmm. How would they have been baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit if they hadn't shown up to the church at that time?
Yeah.
Now, a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit had just happened.
That's right.
And all the believers were energized and rejuvenated. And now they had a fresh outlook on everything. And like you said, now they were motivated to do great works for God.
Absolutely.
And so now, this is what happens when you join a church. I'm talking about, like we just got finished saying,
the body of Christ.
A true Bible-believing, Bible-teaching.
Yes.
Baptized body of believers who are obeying the Word of God. And I can show you in the book of Revelation also, where it says Christ confirmed the church by looking at the ones who obey Him.
That's right.
Now, I'll cover that another time. Mm-hmm. But it's there. But I need you to know it's very important as believers for us to live right and do right, because we have people out there that's watching us and they want so very badly to come and join and connect with us. But I can understand too, from the other standpoint, they're kind of afraid and they're kind of holding back because they don't know what to expect when they get there. But if we live in the life, if the fruit of the Spirit is showing up in our lives, when they come in, they'll find exactly what they need, because God provides what every church, what everybody needs when they come to a church.
Absolutely. And a footnote to that, if I may, and going back to the Acts chapter 2, the birth of the New Testament church, and the New Testament form of worship is molded there, modified, giving us the, if you please, the protocol for that. They didn't look at a clock. They didn't look at a watch. They didn't set a time. People go to a Jaguars game and rain, sleet, or snow, or sunshine, 105 degrees, will sit there for 3, 4, 5 hours and still not be uncomfortable, not look at the watch, not want to leave. In fact, I'm looking at what one writer said. In the American church, we're watching the clock. People can't wait to get out of there. This writer says, I recently read that one large mega church built a multi-lane overpass to ensure that they could get everyone out of the parking lot, 35,000 attendees, within 30 minutes after the close of the service.
Well, I'm glad they didn't live during the times of the Apostle Paul, because Scripture says in the book of Acts, he preached all night long.
That's right.
Until a young boy fell from the loft.
Went to sleep and fell out of the loft, that's right.
Dead. But God gave Paul the power through the Apostle Paul, being a chosen vessel of God. Paul was able to go and pray for the young man, and God spared his
life. By the way, there's a little side footnote of that. Don't go to sleep while the preacher's preaching. You might fall out of the window.
Amen. Amen.
I believe we have Greg on the line. Greg, go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Oh, goodness. That fellow that fell out of the window, do you remember his name?
I can't call it right now.
It's Eutychus.
Eutychus.
Eutychus, too, if you fell out the window in the middle of the preaching, you know, landed on his head, no less. But in any case, though, you're right. People didn't watch the clock. Then they watched the calendar. I mean, look at what we see in the end of Nehemiah. It preached a third of the day and then went back to preaching. You know, is that sort of thing. And the reality is, for those folks that are just, man, they don't want to spend all day long at the church. You know, if somehow or another, there's a clock in somebody's head. You know, if it's more than an hour, we're in trouble. Those same people will spend an insane amount of money, will go to a football game while it's raining or while it's snowing in East Tennessee, and they'll sit there for 3 or 4 or 5 hours, and they'll fight the traffic on the way in and fight the traffic on the way out. Somebody will spill a beer all over them, and they'll hear cussing and everything else, and they have no problem with that. They have no problem with that. Now, for the believer, if you have a problem coming to church, you may want to check up, see whether or not you be in the faith. Because the spirit, if your spirit can't dwell with others of a like spirit, you might not have the same spirit. Now, keep in mind, these folks that you don't want to hang out with, you're going to spend all of eternity with them if you're in Christ and they're in Christ. So you may as well go ahead and get used to them, folks.
Exactly right, Greg. I'm looking at an article that is pretty definitive, but summary of it. This writer says, why is corporate worship so important? Scripture is clear that Jesus died for his church, and that the church is his body, and that participation in the church is essential to the spiritual health of an individual. So speak to that for a moment, Greg, about spiritual health being indicative of the worship and in the Word in the local New Testament church. Can a person that says he's saved and I don't have to go to church, where does the spiritual health, growth, and development come in? Who then becomes the arbiter on what is biblical truth? And the faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word, and how can they hear without a preacher? A person that says, I don't have to go to church, and I'm still saved, they're basically jettisoning everything that's in the Old Testament about worship, everything that's in the New Testament about the New Testament church. Speak to that for a moment.
This is something it's been quite a challenge, both, you know, for me as well as imparting it to others. In our church house, and that's what the building is, it's the church house. You know, we don't go to church. We are the church, and we go to meet with other parts of the church, the ecclesia of the body of Christ. So getting our language correct to begin with. But as you come in the church house at 1985 Buckingham Road in Greenville, Tennessee, the southern tip of heaven, you'll see the words over the doorway, knowing him, capital H, knowing him. And as you walk out the doors, over the doorway it says, making him known. Now, for folks that don't understand why that lingo, when we come into the church house, it's the body of Christ assembling, for the most part, in discipleship, growing you in the word. That's what that church house and us coming together is for, and the fellowship with other believers. As we head out the door, we're heading out the door into the fields that are white in the harvest. We're heading out the door into the mission field. We're heading out the door to share Christ with others. We're heading out the door to, as you are going, tell. That's the purpose. So it's evangelism outside the brick and mortar, discipleship inside the brick and mortar. And by the way, along that line, just to sidestep, the chaos where those folks came in and interrupted a church worship service, and they started pulling the, oh, this is freedom of speech. We're going to trample all over your freedom of worship. We're going to interrupt your religious service in order for us to shout you down on a political matter. No. Those two are incompatible. You want to go and protest all you want to on the street and street corner and up and down the sidewalk, but you don't come into a sanctuary. You don't come into a sanctuary and interrupt the work of God. I got news for you. The legal recourse is just the tip of the iceberg. One day, folks, you're going to face an almighty God that doesn't play with such things. They came in, and some of them used the lingo, you know, we're turning over tables like Jesus. These folks wouldn't know Jesus if he is sitting next to them. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
The reality is the spirit was completely wrong, and the idea that you can come in and disrupt a worship service. I think they've arrested a few, but there are a few more that are agitators. And if they are not arrested for interrupting and violating those individuals' freedom of religious worship, if there are not arrests, it will spread like a cancer. It'll metastasize across the country. Consider this. What if that same thing were done and they walked into a mosque? They would be setting some fires around Minneapolis today, wouldn't they?
Mm-hmm.
But believers, we ought to come together every single week and every single opportunity. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. Some text says, as the heathen do. we ought to be different. The scripture says we ought to be weird. No, it says we ought to be a peculiar people. We ought to be different than the rest of the world. And that Absolutely. Different is we ought to reflect the love and the grace and the mercy and the wisdom of Jesus Christ. Every part of our life that doesn't reflect Jesus Christ, it ought to be examined so that it would.
Greg, you're exactly right. When you look at 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter, the first verse and the following, it talks about the tithes and offerings that lay aside on the first day of the week. So it sets the pace, sets the pattern as to what day of the week that we worship on, and it is very clear in the scripture that we are to be salt and light. And by the way, in that text, Matthew the 5th chapter, verse 13 and following, where you are the salt of the world, salt of the earth and the light of the world, Jesus is talking about the church. And as you said earlier, we are the church. We're part of his body. Just as in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, talks about the different parts for a physical body, so also we're the different parts of the spiritual body that makes up the body, the building, the house of the Lord Jesus Christ, called the church today, the ecclesia. In fact, I'm looking at an article, and I'll let you respond to it, and then we'll go back to Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis. Many people have an improper or unbiblical understanding of church attendance. Some people's feeling about church attendance borders on legalism. They must attend every time there's any kind of service meeting, or they risk God's wrath. Some people experience guilty feelings whenever they miss Sunday morning or Sunday worship for any reason. While indifference toward the church or willful avoidance of the church may indicate a problem with one's spiritual health. Now, here's my question. Is there any good reason for a person not to be in worship service? That's a trick question.
You know what? I love to be with family. And if you don't love to be with family, there's either something wrong with you or there's something wrong with your family. And the family, the body of Christ, that's part of your family. That's an eternal family.
Amen.
And, you know, I just, I'd be sad not to have the opportunity to come together with like-minded believers.
Absolutely. So well, Greg, I've kind of summarized that question myself on the basis, if you're physically able, unless you are providentially hindered, that means some way God has hindered you from being in church, unless you're bedridden, unless you're a shut-in where you cannot get out and go, I believe you need to be in the local New Testament church. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is one of our four sons, Greg. He's residing up in the southern tip of heaven, and right now the southern tip of heaven is pretty chilly up there, isn't it, Greg?
It's headed this way. It hasn't gotten to us yet, but we should see single digits by middle next week. And who knows? They say we might get anywhere from 0 to 24 inches of snow.
Well, we'll keep praying
in the next
48 hours. Greg, thank you for taking time to call us today. God bless you. Hug Randy for us. Dr. Phelps, Dr. Davis, take about a minute each and do a summary statement to our listeners that may be wondering, should I go to church every Sunday? Should I go to church? Should I be faithful?
I would like, first of all, to remind us that we're talking about church. And that word church in the Bible is spoken of as an assembly, assembly of believers. And that reminds me of something that happens every spring. We see the migration of birds, especially the red robin. When we lived in Indiana, they would arrive there sometime in March, whether it was snow or whether it was clear and warm. They were coming in. They assembled together. And it reminds me of the saying, birds of a feather flock together.
Amen.
And if I know anything about the teaching of the Bible, God wants us to be together on Sunday.
Amen. Dr. Davis, wrap us up, Dr. Davis.
Well, if we consider, you know, what Scripture says about neglecting Christian fellowship, that's a dangerous place to be.
That's right.
Because you're also neglecting a chance to commune with God
Yes. And
with the other believers. Here's what Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 says. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will.
Amen.
It's very dangerous.
Very dangerous.
So he's telling us right there.
Yes.
Don't neglect
Yes. To
come together.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've been listening to that, I pray that you have. If you've been questioning whether or not you should be in church, it is my prayer that you be found faithful in the submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and that is evidenced by our willingness to bow down before him in Christian worship. Thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7.